You have your Bible, turn with us this morning to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. And the Bible says, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in the sight like unto an emerald." I want to preach just a little while this morning on this thought, a sight to behold. A sight to behold. As I begin to look at this and I begin to see John, and we begin to see things that's transparent here. And he's talking about, John's writing here, and he says, "After this, I look." And now what he's talking about, he's after the things that the Lord has done showed him about the church age. In chapters 2 and chapter 3, the Lord gives us a pretty explicit history of the church through the ages. Amen. Brings us up to the right to the time that we're at, to the time in the last church when it's the Laodicean church. That church of falling away. That church that's lukewarm to God. I'm glad we're not that church this morning. Amen. We're the church of Philadelphia. We're the church that's on fire for God. We're the church that's staying steadfast. Amen. We're not going to be a Laodicean church. Not if God has anything to do with it. He'll help us, amen, all the way to the end of the way to be the church of Philadelphia. That church is giving praise and honor to the God of glory. That's the way God designed it to be. You know, He never designed for us to quit. He never designed for us to get slack. He never designed or planned for us to quit. Amen. He designed for us to stay in a good fight of faith all the way to the end of the way till we can see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. And that's got to be our ultimate goal this morning, is to see Him as He is. But you know, I'm glad every now and then we get just a little peek into glory. We get to see, and that's what John gives us here. He gives us just a little peek into glory. Ain't you glad every now and then you just get a little glimpse of the other side? Amen? Just a little peek at the other side. Just about time the old devil's discouraging got you down. Praise God. The Holy Ghost of God will come through and He'll just show you just how much God loves you. Amen. How much the Lord loves you. How much He'll bring to your remembrance what He done for you on the cross of Calvary. How He took them old beatings, praise God, that should have been of yours because of your old sinfulness. Amen. But He took it Himself because He loved you that much. Praise the Lord. But we see here, as John says, after these things, after the church age, after the church has fallen away, and it's a church that says, well, we no longer need Jesus, and we no longer need the blood. Now, we've got them all over the place now. Churches are popping up where they say, well, you know, we don't really need Jesus. We can worship without Jesus, without mentioning the name of Jesus. And we don't really need this old bloody religion that you've got. We can make it without the blood. I want to say without the mud, without the blood, shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Amen. What does that mean, Pastor? It means you're still caught up in your sin. Without the blood of your Jesus Christ being applied to your life, you're still lost on your way to a devil's hell. Amen. But praise be to God, because that shed blood on the cross of Calvary, we have a blessed hope this morning. Amen. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father on high. Amen. And John says, after this, after the church age, after he's seen what the church would be through the ages. Now, I was wondering, I got to thinking on this other morning out in the study. I wonder how disappointed John was when he said they had preached and had taught and had ministered the Word of God, and he starts seeing folks falling away. Amen? Folks starting to try to go out and do things their own way, the ways that's not pleasing to God. Hey, we ought to search our hearts, praise God. If there's anything in our life that's not pleasing to God, that don't line up with His Word, that He don't say is okay, praise God, we need to get rid of it. He said, come out from among them, be you a separate people for the glory of God. But amen, that's what He said. And what He says, He means. And He'll enable us to do that. But John says, after this, I looked and behold, a door was open in heaven. Now, this is a sight to behold. For sure. Now, what is that door that was opened in heaven? That door, praise God, is open heaven is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He said in John chapter 10, verse 9, I am the door. Yeah. Hey, listen this morning. If you're going to get into heaven, praise God, and you're going to bypass hell, you've got to go through the door. Yeah. Amen. Hey, if you try to get up anyway, Bible says you're as a thief and a robber. Yeah. Amen. You'll not make it. But praise God, if we go through the door, could you imagine what old John was seeing when he got to see the things that was taking place after the church age? Amen. Right after this great falling away. Right after the time when people say, well, I don't need the Lord no more. And the Bible shows us in the Laodicean church in chapter 3 and verse 20, the Bible says Jesus is outside the door. Amen. I believe in a lot of church houses today, praise God, Jesus is outside. Amen. Hey, we need to open the door and let Him come in. Amen. Hey, you can't hold Him outside, praise God. I want Him in here. Amen. He said, after this, I looked and behold, the door was open in heaven. He said, I stand at the door and I knock. That's what Jesus said. I stand at the door and knock. He said, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in to him. Hey, listen. He said, I'll come in to you. I'll come to where you're at. I'll manifest myself in you. I'll indwell you through the Holy Ghost of God. That's what he's talking about. He said, I'll make my presence known in you for the glory of God. Amen. You'll have that constant help that you need, praise God. You say, well, preacher, you don't realize how mean I've been. You don't realize the things that I do. Yeah, I do. I know exactly how you are. We all in this old flesh. Hey, ain't none of us, praise God, it ain't God. Don't run into temptations. But praise God, if we allow the Holy Ghost of God to dictate our lives, if we allow Him to have rule in our life, praise God, He can help us in this day and hour that we live. We're living a day, praise God, when the world says, well, you know what, you just can't live right, and there's no use to try. You know who's instigating that? That's Satan, amen. That's the devil telling you can't, because God says you can. And God says, I'll help you to do what you need to do. And I want to say God is great, praise God, this morning. He's an almighty God. He's able to do all things. Amen. There's nothing God can't do. In heaven and earth. Jesus said, I have all power in heaven and in earth. And if He's got all power in heaven and in earth, what makes you think He can't take care of little old you? Amen. He can take care of us this morning, praise God, because He's all powerful. Praise the Lord. He said, I will come in to Him and will sup with Him and He with me. And to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in His throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So Jesus says, hey, listen, He said, anybody that would just open the door to me, He said, and I'll come in. You say, well, preacher, it couldn't be that simple. See, that's the thing. It is that simple. We just need to open the door, praise God, and let Him come in, and we don't shut it in His face. So many times we'll open the door, and Jesus starts to come in, and then we'll shut it. And it's like we play peekaboo with Him. Amen? When times get tough, we'll crack it open. Are you still out there? I need a little bit of help. And He will shut the door in His face. Amen. But He's a gentleman. He's not going to beat that door down, come in to help you. But when you fling it open wide, praise God, say, Lord, I want you to just come inside. Amen. I want you to sup with me. I want you to help me. I want you to nourish me. Then He begins to do those things that only He can do. And He'll begin to do them for you. Amen. He said, in chapter 4, he goes on and says, and the first voice I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me. Amen. We see that over in Revelation chapter 1, verse 10. He said, I heard something. So I looked around and said, it was though his trumpet was speaking to me. Amen. That's the Lord Jesus Christ preparing us for it. Amen. He's speaking to us. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. Amen. Remember that trumpet that's going to speak at the end of the age, when it's going to be a trumpet and to come up hither, praise God, and the church of the living God's going to go out of here to be with the Lord, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. See, John was sent a sight to behold. John was a taken in. Amen. Praise the Lord. He says, come up hither, and I will show you things which must be hereafter. So John's going to, he says, hey, you come here. I'm going to give you a little peek at the hereafter. Amen. I'm talking about a sight to behold. Praise God. We can only imagine what old John was a-seeing. I'd like to get tuned in every now and then, get the glimpse in it to myself. He said, immediately I was in the Spirit. And behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Imagine that. Amen. In the experience we have. And he that sat upon the set was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. Amen. John says, I looked at that. I looked and he said, I beheld the most magnificent sight I'd ever seen. He said, I was in the Spirit, and I said, I beheld a throne. Amen. That throne is a place of judgment, and that throne is a place of justice. He said, I beheld that throne, and he said, there was one set upon that throne. He said, it was like a jasper and a sardine stone. That jasper speaks of that redness, that blood red color, which is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that sardine stone is that clear as crystal that represents the righteousness of a holy God. He said, hey, I looked and beheld, and there was before my eyes was the most magnificent thing that I'd ever seen. Amen. And he said, and there was a rainbow round about. Amen. You remember rainbow? We've heard about rainbows before, hadn't we? Yeah. Look over in Genesis. Genesis chapter 9. Remember old Noah? The Bible said that rainbow, that represents mercy. Now, oh Noah, I can just imagine, God told him, Noah, he said, Noah said, you build you an ark. And I want you to build it to these dimensions. I want you to build this high and this long, this wide. And I want you to build stalls. And he said, pitch it about with pitch. And I gave him the directions for building that ark. And he said, because I'm going to make it rain, Noah. And I can imagine Noah said, you're going to make it what? He said, I'm going to make it rain, Noah. And Noah said, well, Lord, if you say so. See, he had never seen rain before. The Bible said that the dew of the night, during the nighttime, the dew would come up and it would water the land. Amen? So Noah builds an ark and God begins to let it rain. Of course, God brought all the little animals, put them in the ark. You know the story. And then God closed the door. Amen? Of that ark. Amen? It was sealed up. Praise God. And Noah, praise God, him and his family floated through that flood that came on the earth. Amen. And I can just imagine that here when God comes up and he tells Moses after flood and the water begins to succeed. And God told him, he says, Noah, what I want you to do in Genesis chapter 9 verse 7 said, and you be ye fruitful and multiply and bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply therein. I could just see this in my mind's eyes. God's telling Noah this, and Noah says, well, Lord, you know, why should I do that? Because I get all this done, and then you just come and flood it again? He said, why should I strive and work to do all this that you want me to do? And the chance you're just going to destroy it again. And God, he said, well, Noah, I'll tell you what I'll do. He said, verse 9 said, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you and with every living creature that is with you of the fowl and the cattle and every beast of the earth with you for all that are go out of the ark to every beast of the field. Now look at verse 13. He said, I do set my bow in the cloud and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow will be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant. Amen. He said, hey, every time he said, praise God, a cloud passes by, knowing you look up and you say, oh my goodness, is this another night? He said, you just remember that I've set a bow in the cloud. Amen. And see, he said, hey, listen. He said, just as long as you know, praise God, that it's my covenant with you. Verse 16 says, and the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it that I may remember, I love this part, the everlasting covenant. Amen. He said, I've made a covenant with you of mercy from now on. And he said, long as the clouds in the sky and as long as there's a sun, there's going to be a bow. Did you realize, praise God, as long as there's a cloud in the sky and as long as the sun's are shining, praise God, there's a rainbow somewhere. Amen. We may not be able to see it, praise God, but as long as there's a cloud in the sky and there's a sun a shining, praise God, there's going to be a rainbow. The mercy of God is going to be manifest. Ain't that a marvelous thing? The mercy of God we see in the bow. Amen. Not only in Genesis chapter 2 do we see the bow, but if you look over in Ezekiel chapter 1, Ezekiel chapter 1 talked about this bow, this magnificent thing that he's seen. In Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, now it came to pass in the 13th year of the 4th month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Chebar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. Verse 4, he said, I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof was a color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. So Ezekiel looked here, and God begins to show him this picture. He begins to see a vision. And Ezekiel, I can see in my mind's eye, as he began to picture this thing, he began to see it. He realizes, he begins to think, well, this is it. It's just about over. Said, God's had enough of the foolishness of his people. Amen. We've been took into bondage. And praise God, this thing just about to finish up. Now, Ezekiel was saying this from bondage. Amen. He was with the people. He's trying to do right. He's trying to be a good prophet. He was trying to tell them the right way to go. But they had turned their back on God. They wouldn't listen. And he said, I see these things all coming to pass. And he said, hey, this must be the end. Amen. Then verse 20, but he goes over in verse 25 and he said, there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads when they stood and had let down their wings. He's talking about these cherubims that's flying around and ministering and preparing the things, praise God, for what God's about to do. And in verse 26, he said, and above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne. He says, they looked up over there and they seen above those in the firmament. He said, they was a likeness of a throne, a place of judgment and a place of justice. Amen. God was fixing to pour out his wrath. God was fixing to give judgment and justice, praise God, where it was deserved. Could you imagine the state of their mind as Ezekiel began to see this? And he said, oh my goodness, what's going to take place now? And he said, and the appearance of a sapphire stone, and upon the likeness of the throne. Now listen to this. Throne, there was a likeness, the appearance of a man above upon it. Amen. As Ezekiel looks, now picture this in your mind. As Ezekiel looks at this, as he looks at this throne, his place of judgment and justice, that's getting ready to be metered out. And as he looks upon this thing, he sees the likeness of a man. Now, but I want you to notice how the Holy Ghost of God, Brother Charles, lays this thing out for us. Praise be to God. He says, hey, listen, this thing's just about over. Judgment, justice coming. He said, but no, wait a minute. As I look upon that throne, upon the throne above it, praise God. Hey, listen, the one that would dictate the throne, the one that dictate the judgment, the one that pass out the justice, praise God, was one like unto a man. Yeah. Amen. Praise God. That man was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Ezekiel said, as I was looking at this and I was expecting justice, I was expecting judgment and justice to be dished out. He said, I seen a man sitting above upon that throne. Amen. A man that was master of the throne that he sat upon. Listen to what he goes on to say in verse 28 or verse 27. I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about. Now that fire is purifying, always speaks of purification. It said, as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of God. Amen. He says, as I looked and I beheld, I began to see that judgment. I began to see the justice that was metered out. But when I began to look, I began to see the man that would issue that judgment and that justice. And as even in the time of judgment, hey, praise God, I seen the bow. And even in the time of judgment and justice, praise God, God was metering out mercy. Praise God. Amen. That rainbow always speaks of mercy. In the midst of God's anger, his throne was wrapped in mercy. Ain't that amazing that God could love us that much? He could love me and you that much. He could minister grace and mercy during a time of judgment. In another place, Revelation chapter 10, we see him talking about a rainbow. Revelation chapter 10, now you got to realize Revelation chapter 10, they're in the midst of the great tribulation. Amen? Revelation chapter 10 is the great tribulation is running its course. The life on earth has become hell on earth. Amen? Life on earth it's become like hell. In Revelation chapter 9, verse 6, it said, those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Said it's going to be so bad during the tribulation time and people's going to beg God to kill them. They're going to cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them, but they can't die. Amen. It's going to be a time of travesty like this world has never known. In verse 10, chapter 1, he said, I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. Amen. Who would that be? That's none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said he cometh with clouds. Said, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. Amen. Men will be crying out. You've got pictures. Men will be crying in agony. Amen. Begging the mountains and the rocks and the skies to fall upon them that they could die. But he said, and verse 2 said, and he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. Amen. As Brother Charles was talking about that, the number seven in the Word of God, that is a number of completion. Amen. Glory be to God. When God is finished playing around, when God is finished trying to work and minister to me and you, praise God, when the end comes, the end will come. And we better be ready for the end coming. You say, well, preacher, what does that mean? It means that the clouds and the thunders, they're always speaking of, they're talking about judgment, a coming judgment, justice dished out. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered and write them not. God said, John, listen to me. He said, what those seven thunders just uttered, he said, they're too horrific. Don't you even pin them down. What's going to take place in the tribulation period at the end of the age? He said, don't pin them down. Don't write them down. It's going to be so horrific that men don't need to read that. Yeah. Amen. You say, why? Because we couldn't handle it. You say, well, preacher, he ought to went ahead and pinned it down so that we'd know and we'd repent. If we won't repent when we've got a living Savior sitting at the right hand of the Father on high to make intercession for, we won't repent if we know the truth. Because we know the truth. It's Christ Jesus. And we won't get saved. Amen. And the Bible said, and the angel, which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth, lifted up his hand to heaven. Now you got to remember here, Armageddon's at hand. The final battle's fixing to be fought. This thing's about to be over. The most horrific things that's ever been pronounced has been pronounced by God. And he says, I swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. God says, he says, listen, said the time's over. No more delays. He says, a time of wrath, a time of judgment has come upon the earth. But isn't a magnificent thing that even during a time of judgment and a time of wrath, the Bible says, and I saw another mighty angel. Not just an angel, not just a common, but a mighty angel. Amen. Come down from heaven clothed with the cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as a sun, and his feet were as pillars of fire. He come with judgment and justice, but praise God, in the time of judgment and justice, there's a rainbow of mercy, amen, that illuminates all around him, amen. And when John looked and seen, praise God, he seen this angel, this mighty angel with the power of God on him to destroy and to put down, but praise God, in that same essence, around that individual. Wait, praise God, was a rainbow of mercy. Amen. God's got a rainbow of mercy that's illuminating today. The most magnificent sight. Amen. In Revelation chapter 4, this is what John's seen. He said, immediately I was in the Spirit. I'm talking about a sight to behold. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven. And one sat on it, that throne of judgment. And he's talking about that throne of God. Amen. But that's also a throne of love, a throne of compassion. Amen. A throne that God sits on, that God occupies, that nobody can dethrone him. And he sits there in preeminence today. And he said, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat upon thrones looked upon like a jasper and a sardis stone. That blood's been applied. Amen. He's as pure as crystal. So he can judge righteously. Amen. Righteous judgment has been given unto God. Amen. And through his Son. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. Amen. The blood of righteousness had been applied. John looked upon this thing and he seen this throne, this most magnificent throne. But I believe the thing that caught John's eye the most was that rainbow round about that throne. That mercy that he... See, John could know, he knew about that covenant that God had made with man. And God's always going to keep his covenant. He's always going to fulfill his promise. Amen. So we see the sight to behold when we look with John into that into the throne room of God, and we see the throne, and we see one that sat upon the throne, and we see that rainbow of mercy that envelops that throne. But there's another throne. There's another throne that the Bible talks about in Revelation chapter 20. In Revelation chapter 20, the Bible speaks of another throne. It's called a great white throne. The great white throne, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, he said, I saw a great white throne. Amen. That great means it because it's great. There's no throne that supersedes this throne. And him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Amen. No place for them. We're around the throne. Amen. A place in heaven. Amen. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to his work, to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Amen. This is the second death. He said, here we have a throne. And we have one sitting upon the throne. But what's missing on this throne? What's missing on this throne, this great white throne judgment? The rainbow. See, at the great white throne judgment, there'll be no mercy.
Amen.
At the great white throne judgment, there'll be no making things right. At the great white throne judgment, those that's lost and undone, those that reject Lord Jesus Christ, they will be judged by the way that they lived. And I want to say that there's none of us can live close enough. None of us can live just enough, righteous enough to make our way into heaven. You can't work your way in. You can't be good enough to get in. It takes the precious blood of Lord Jesus Christ in order to get in. Amen. It takes mercy from God in order to get in. Amen. If mercy is not there, amen. If mercy is not there, we can't be saved. But thank God for His mercy. That even in the time of wrath, even in the time when God's judging, and He said, hey, it's coming a time when God's going to judge America. We're going to stand and be judged for the way that we live, the way we act, the way that we disregard God. Because of the sodomy and the wickedness in this world. Men with men, women with women, drunkards and alcoholics and drug addicts and all these things. Praise God, that's just turned their back on God and pushed it. Say, we don't need you. But God's going to judge. And He's going to judge without mercy. But ain't you glad, praise God, that there's the most beautiful sight to behold one of these days? The most beautiful sight we'll behold is when we behold the throne of God. And the most magnificent, we'll be like John. That most magnificent sight about that throne. Because we'll get to see God the Father and God the Son, and we'll get to see that rainbow that represents the mercy of God. Because without that mercy, they won't nobody see heaven. Amen? Without the mercy of God, we'll not see heaven. But ain't you glad today that He's a merciful God? He's a merciful and a loving God. He loves you today and He offers you an opportunity. Just like He did John. He says, hey, He said, come up hither. Come up here. Hey, just come up here to where I'm at. Just get on a higher plane of life. Amen. In this day that we live. Because we can with the Lord Jesus Christ. If we can just get a vision. Amen. A sight to behold, praise God, in our eyes. That one of these days we want to see what heaven looks like. Amen. But Job said he was going to die. And he said, even though these skin worms would devour me, he said, I'm going to see God face to face. Amen. We have to have that same hope in us today. We have to have that same. And if we've got that same hope, praise God, then we'll have that same. We'll be able to behold the same sight that John seen. Amen. Be able to see the throne of God and be able to see the manifestation of that rainbow. A promise, a covenant from God that He would always minister out mercy. What about you today?